You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
You know, I was really torn this morning on, I wrote two separate messages and sent them in, and that, you know, and I finally said, you know what, I really believe that I'm supposed to preach the second one I wrote for this morning. And so that's what I'm going to do. And it's called The God That Sees You. And it's based on the story of Hagar. The story of Hagar. If you don't know Hagar, Hagar was a servant, a maidservant to Sarah, whose real name or her name at the beginning was Sarai. And Abram, who we know as Abraham. Their names were Sarai and Abram. God changed them to Sarah and Abraham, the mother of many nations and the father of many nations. But that wasn't their name before. Before that, before God changed their name. And they had a servant called Hagar. And Sarah got really impatient with God and offered her husband, who was about 86 years old, offered her a young woman to have sex with and birth the child through her. And so said, hey, you take her. She said, take her as your wife too. And when she has a baby, I'll claim the baby. And so Abram, being a dumb man, said yes to that, which wasn't smart. And Sarai, being impatient with God, made a dumb decision, and it didn't turn out well. Let me tell you how bad it turned out. Ishmael is the child of Hagar. Ishmael is the father of the Muslim nations that are at war with Israel to this day. That's how bad a mistake that was. That's what it's created. Thousands have died over this issue right here. But something happened with Hagar. Hagar was not the woman of promise. Her son's not the son of the promise. But God does something really special. You know, sometimes you don't think, and this isn't just a Mother's Day message. This is for every person in the room, every man, woman, and child in the room, that you just don't think because of your circumstances and your situation that God does not see you. And that is not true. It's not true. And Hagar proves it. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, tells the whole story. And we're going to read down to verse 15 very quickly. It says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Next verse. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Oh, bad mistake. Then Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Next verse. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. So Hagar, when she got pregnant, she started despising Sarai. She's thinking, now I'm the main one here. You can't bear children, and I can, so I'm important and you're not. Well, that was a mistake by Hagar, a big mistake. Next verse. Then Sarai said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. This is why men, sometimes you need to discern the Holy Spirit and not your wife. Because she's now blaming him. Her idea, his problem. And so, don't raise your hand, men. It's Mother's Day. Don't want you fighting. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between you and me. Now she's calling on God to judge him. And so Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. This whole thing's a mess. Sarai gets impatient with God. Abraham doesn't listen to God. None of them listen to God. Hagar gets pregnant. She despises Sarai. Sarai goes, complains to Abraham. Abraham says, do whatever you want to. And now Sarai's hurting Hagar. Just a big mess. It's what sin produces, a mess, until God intervenes. Amen. And then it says, so Abraham said to Sarai, and then Sarai dealt harshly with her. And so Hagar fled from her presence. Next verse. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness by the spring on the way to Shur. Next verse. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? I just want to stop right there for just a second. Leave the verse up there with you, Will, please. Listen, she stopped at that spring probably to get a drink of water, but she has no place to go. She's a maid servant of Abram and Sarah, and she has no place to go. She's an Egyptian. She's a woman pregnant on a road to nowhere. To nowhere. She's probably sitting there weeping. Like, what am I doing? Where? What do I do now? Where do I go? But this is what God does. He sends an angel. She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. Next verse. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. So he's given her direction. And you notice she didn't say where she was going. She said, I'm just running. She said, I'm just running. She doesn't have a direction. She said, I'm just running from my mistress. It proves to us she had no clue what she was doing and where to go. She's on her own and all alone, but God sends an angel to her, and the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Next verse. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Next verse. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child. You shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord has heard your affliction. So she's got to be there crying, weeping. Next verse. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man and every man's hands against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. That spirit that was going to be on Ishmael is still on the Muslim people and the Arab people today. They're still, their hand is against each other. Their hand is against the Jews. Their hand is against everybody. They're terrorizing the world. Amen? It's still on them. Next verse. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? So, man, she's realizing that, man, God, you care about me. You see me, and now I see you. I see that you care about me, that you care about me. And I want you to see today that God sees you. You know, I was watching a movie the other day, and that's why this sparked this thought. I was watching a movie the other day, and in the movie, they're talking to each other, and one of their main things they say about loving each other or caring for each other is, I see you. I see you. And that meant, I love you. I care about you. You're important. You're significant. I see you. And I guarantee you they got that from these scriptures. I want you to know God sees you. You're important. He cares about you. You're significant. You're significant in his eyes. I'll show you through the word just how significant you are and how important you are to him. He sees you. I know sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Hagar didn't even know God. She knew about him. She knew just about God. She did not know God. But now that she sees him and he knows that he sees her, she's like, he cares about me. He cares about me. He knows all about my life. He knows about my child. He cares about me. Amen. And God made it right with Ishmael by sending Jesus to die on the cross because he died for the Arab people, the black people, the brown people, the white people, the Chinese people. He died for everybody to make it right with Ishmael and everybody else on the planet. It's so important that we understand this concept that he sees us. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. I love this because this is what God sees. This is the prophet of the Lord, Samuel, talking to God. And God said, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. Because Samuel's about to anoint David as king, and he doesn't look. He's a little kid. And he's little bitty. He said, because I have refused him. He's talking about his other brothers that looked like kings. And Samuel's like, well, if it's not this guy, who is it? This is the last one, and he looks like a king. He's like, don't look at his physical stature because he's about to anoint David who doesn't look like a king. He said, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's what he sees. He's not looking at you on the outside. That's what people see. He's looking on you in the inside. He's looking at your heart, who you really are. He's looking at your real intentions and your real motives. When other people misunderstand you and you're like, man, that's not what I meant. Listen, you can trust that maybe people don't get it, but God sees it. And he sees what's in here. And to some people, that scares them. Like, oh, I don't want him to see in here. But don't be scared. God, if God was judging, you wouldn't be alive. God is a judge, but he said, my mercy, I outweigh judgment with my mercy. My mercy outweighs my judgment. So when he sees in you, what he sees inside your heart is the best of you. He sees the good things inside of you. That's what he sees, and he wants to pull those out. And he wants to eliminate the things in your heart that are wrong. So he's not coming into your life to just beat you down. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to rescue you. So he wants to remove all the things that bring condemnation and guilt and shame in your life and put better things in you, good things from him in you, and pull out the gifts and talents, the best out of you that he already knew he placed in you from the beginning. That's his heart. In Matthew 6:6, it says this. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. His heart is to reward you for what you do in secret. His heart is to reward you. Now, there's things that people do in secret, people in this room, you're doing in secret right now that God sees that aren't right with God. And he's dealing with you to get it right, and he's doing that because he doesn't want to publicly shame you. Because he said eventually in this verse, what you do in secret will be revealed publicly, but he's patient. Why is he patient with us? Because he sees the good in us. He's the one who put it there. And he wants to bring the good out and eliminate the bad. Bring his holiness out and eliminate the evil in our lives. And he wants to reward us for what we do in secret. Not just expose us, and I preached whole sermons on, do you want to be rewarded or exposed? We get to choose which one happens. But his heart of hearts is to reward, is to honor what we do in secret, to bless us for what we do that when no one else is looking, but we know God is looking. We know God is looking. But I want you to know God's not just looking, but God loves you and he cares about you. He sees you. You know, there was a story a teacher told. I read this morning that a teacher told the story of a little kid named Joshua. It's supposed to be a true story. His name was Joshua, and he had a science project at school and built a rocket. And he was very proud of this rocket. And Joshua struggled a little bit in school, but, man, he focused so hard on this rocket. He wanted to make the best rocket he could possibly make. And all the other parents showed up to see their kids' science projects, but Joshua's mom did not show up. Finally, she showed up late. Can I tell you what Joshua thought? Joshua didn't care if she was late. Joshua just cared she showed up. Didn't care about the time. And so he ran to her and said, Mom, look at my rocket. And you know what she said to him? She said, hey, put that up. Get your stuff. I'm in a hurry. Let's go. And she never, ever acknowledged Joshua what he had done. And the teacher watched him walk out the door with his head hung low with his rocket in his hand. What's that a constant reminder of? It's a reminder that we need to make sure we do what God said to do. God said there's two commandments that fulfill all the law and all the prophets. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love others as you love yourself. To see God and to see others. This mom didn't want to take time to see him. And I know, guys, we all get busy, and sometimes our kids are silly, and we just got to say, time out. No time for a conversation about the ant that was on your hand or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, whatever the silly story you want to tell me. There's just times you got to go. I get it. But we need to be able to discern. I've been teaching on the Holy Spirit. We need a discernment of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit so well. He says, this isn't one of those times. See them. See them. Because when you see them, it matters. It says something. It says you're significant. You're important. And it says, I care and I love you. That's why God said, and Hagar said, I see now the God that sees me. that he cares about me, that I'm important. I'm not just some insignificant maidservant that's being used, and I'm not just some insignificant person. God sees, God cares about my, what hurts me and what matters to me. And he cares about you, and he cares what matters to you. He does. He sees you. He wants us all to know that. I love this. Psalms 139, verse 16 says this. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. What does it mean, as I saw him, saw us before we were formed? It means he saw us in his imagination. Man, when Julie was pregnant with our, before Julie was ever pregnant, before I ever met Julie, I had a, in my imagination, I had a picture of her. I had a picture of my son. I wanted at least four sons. At least four. You know, God does exceedingly abundantly above, right? So he gave me a fifth son, and then he gave me a daughter. And so, but guys, I could, in my imagination, I could see it. And when she was pregnant, even though I couldn't see them in her womb, I could imagine who they were and imagine what they look like. God has an incredible imagination. Do you not understand that? We don't have an imagination for that to be the devil's playground. We have an imagination for God to use it. You know, someone had to imagine how to make a phone, how to make a car, how anything that's been made, anything that's been invented. They saw it in their mind before they saw it on the outside. God gave us an imagination to invent, to produce, to bless. That's why he gave us an imagination, not to be used for evil. And so God's imagination is crazy in a good way. Like, I don't know, like the giraffe always gets to me. Let's just hear, this thing's kind of orangish yellow with checkers, and let's make his neck a little long. You know what? Let's make it a little. No, that's not long enough. Let's just make it real long. So it's so long, it's awkward. Let's make them real long, real tall. And then, you know what? We'll give them a tongue about 2 feet long. I mean, God, just, that's just crazy. I just look at the animal. I look at people. I'm like, wow, that's quite an imagination, Lord. And he said, in his imagination, he saw you before you were even, the egg met the seed. Before that ever happened, he saw you. Before you had eyes to see him, he saw you. And he wrote down in a book all the days of your life. I didn't write a book about my children before the days of their life. God did. You know, that book's still in heaven right now with your name on it. Do you know you have a book in heaven with your name on it? Everything about you is being written in it. God loves people so much, he's documenting our lives. And guess what? All the sins we committed, they're blotted out of the book. For those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, his blood has removed all the bad stuff, and all that's left is the good stuff. I love that. I love that, because the bad stuff probably pretty thick. Probably a bigger. How big's my book? Oh, it's this big. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, no. These two pages are the good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Just say thank you, Jesus. Right? But God saw you in all that means. Cared, loved, counted you as significant. You're important. You're valuable. You know, you are priceless. You and I are priceless to him. So much so, that's why he said, if I give you my son, why would you not believe that I would give you all that? Why would you question me? Why would you question? Listen, I think of it this way. Like, say, for instance, you were about to be shot, and I said, I'll take the bullet, and I stepped in front of you, and they shot and killed me. And then later on, someone said, hey, man, I heard old Choice Motherman gave his life for you. saved your life. And you said, yeah, but he didn't leave me $1 million. Yeah, he did, but, you know, I needed help moving my garage the other day, my furniture, and he didn't come and help me. Yeah, man, when I was sick, he didn't come take care of me. I don't know if he really loved me. Let me tell you this, that if I did that for you, and you said that in front of my brothers, my mama, my sons, my wife, my daughter, they would rebuke the fire out of you and say, how dare you say that they didn't love you when they laid down your life for you. Their life was taken for you. And I want to say to you, how dare you question God's love for you when he already took the bullet for you. But you say, what about this? What about that? He says in his word, I proved that I loved you when I died for you. Proved it. He doesn't have to show me anything else. Everything else is just a blessing. Everything else is just the goodness of God. Everything else is the icing on the cake. But he already proved he loved me because he died for me. I don't need any more proof. Do you? Do you need any more proof? I've gotten to the point when people question that, I'm like, hey, hold on, time out. I'm his brother. Jesus is my brother. He's my big brother. He's not just my Lord and Savior. He's my family. You're not going to talk about him like that. He died for you. He took the bullet for you. How dare you question now that he loves you? How dare you question that he sees you? How dare you question that he cares? He cares so much he died for you. He took the cross. He took the cross for you and me. And it wasn't for something we were doing good. It was for everything that we did bad. He's already proven that he sees you, that he loves you, that he cares. And he saw you before you were ever created. He saw you before your parents were created. That's how much God loves you, and that's how much he cares about you. That's why we shouldn't question it. We should say, you're the God that sees me. We should say it. God, you're the God that sees me, the God that loves me, the God that gave his only begotten son for me, that Jesus Christ died for my sins, for me. He took the cross for me. I'm not going to question whether you'll heal me. I'm not going to question whether you'll provide for me. I'm not going to question any of it. I don't understand all the circumstances. I don't understand why they all exist. I don't know why all these bad things sometimes happen to me, but this is what I'm not going to question, Lord. I'm not going to question that you love me, that you care about me, and that I'm going to have a breakthrough day because you love me, Lord. Because you love me. You see me. You see me. I want you to see that God sees you, but I want to do something else for you today. I want you to see him. I want you to see who he is. I love this verse. Jeremiah 24:6 says this. For I will set my eyes on them for what? No, for bad, for a sour life, a no good life, for problems and bad things. That's not what he says. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Wow. After all, doesn't he say, taste and see that the Lord is bad? Taste and see that the Lord will give you a sour life? Taste and see how evil God is? What does it say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. What does Jeremiah 29:11 say? I have bad plans for you. I have good plans for you. Good plans. He has a good plan. So then why do things happen? Why does bad things happen? Guys, you know, Jesus said in Matthew, he said, man, God sees the sparrows that fall. And he said he counts all the hairs on your head. So that means he sees all the hairs that fall. He sees the sparrows that fall and the hares that fall. But he's saying, I pay attention to these kind of details. And he said, aren't you more valuable than many sparrows? But he said, I pay attention to everyone that falls. Listen, because we have independent thoughts and because we're not robots, we can make choices and we can make decisions that cause falling, that cause things to happen. Look at Sarah, Abram, and Hagar. What a mess that is. They each made a choice. Wrong choice after wrong choice after wrong choice. If you keep making wrong choices, you'll keep falling. But if you'll turn around and say, listen, I'm not gonna be independent of God. I'm gonna depend on God to lead, God, and direct my thoughts, my actions, my attitudes, my words. I'm gonna depend on Him. Then your life will start turning around. He'll turn that around for your good. But we fall sometimes. Sometimes it's an attack of the devil, but a lot of times it's our choices because we do things independently of the Word of God. But you know the good thing about God, even when we choose to do that, we turn around and say, God, I'm sorry. I ask your forgiveness. I repent. I'm willing to change. I'm going to change. Help me to change. He's like, okay, I forgive you. Let's go. That quick. He's so quick to forgive. Guys, you can't, when the words come out of your mouth, it's done if you mean it in here. Because he's the God that what? Judges not the outside, but the inside. That's what it says. That he's the God that judges on the inside, not the outside. Oh, I think that's incredible. I love this one too, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine God is singing over you? He's singing over you. He's rejoicing over you. Do you see it? You know, sometimes I used to wonder about children. I'd hear my children on the monitor giggling, laughing. You know, just little babies, you know, just 6 months, 7 months old or whatever, and they're giggling and laughing. I wonder what they see. I wonder what they hear. Do they hear Jesus singing over them? Do they see the glory and the goodness of God? And they're just, I mean, sometimes babies are just laying there looking, and you're wondering, I mean, they're staring at something. And it's like, what are you seeing? An angel of the Lord singing over you? God rejoicing over you? What is it that they see? What is the joy that, I mean, you're right there and they're not even looking at you. But they're seeing something. Man, guys, we need to see God for who he is. He wants to rejoice over you, singing over you. That's why he said, if he be for you, who could be against you? Who could be against you if he's for you? Nothing, he said, nothing can separate you from my love. Nothing. Not angels, not demons, nothing can separate you from my love. When we see him for who he is, even when we're facing trouble, when we see him and we know he sees us, man, that's when deliverance comes. That's when healing comes. That's when things turn around. When we fix our, Jesus said in Hebrews 12:2, you can go ahead and put it up on the screen. He said, fix your eyes on me. Listen to this, Hebrews 12:2. Says, looking unto Jesus, or fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he's saying, listen, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus and see what the rest of that verse says. He endured the cross with joy, saving our lives. That's how much he sees you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he's for you. Quit questioning whether I love you. Fix your eyes on what I've already done to prove that I love you. And then know that I didn't just love you then, I love you now. Know that I didn't just promise to bless you then, I promise to bless you now. Know that I didn't just promise to heal you then, I promise to heal you now. I see you, God says. Do you see me? Do you see me? He wants us to see him. I love, man, oh, there's so many. Psalms, oh gosh, I can't skip that far. Let me see where I need to go here to wrap this up. Wow, go with me to 2 Chronicles 16:9. If you can put that up there, please. It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes, what is it? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. He's saying, man, because he's looked and he hasn't found loyalty, they have wars. But that's not what he wants to see. He wants to see a loyal heart. And when he does, he wants to bless it. He said, I want to show myself strong to you. I want to be strong when you're weak. I want to be strong when you need me to be strong. I want to help you be strong when you need to be strong. I want to love you, bless you, be good to you. I want to keep all my promises to you. But what do you see? He's looking to see what you see. Do you see the God that's good? Do you see the God that loves? Do you see the God that wants to help you come out of evil and live holy? Do you see the God that cares? I love 2 Peter. You don't have to put it up. Or 1 Peter 5, 7. He said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. That word cast means to throw, to roll, to just put it all on his shoulders because he said, I care for you. But until you see that he cares, you can't cast it on him. You want to hang on to it because you don't trust that he cares, because you don't see that he cares. I hope today you see how much he cares. He cared and saw you before you existed. You are that important. I know sometimes we just feel insignificant. We're just little old us and little old Roswell, America, right? You know, in between services, I met people from Arizona that came to visit our church today. They said, man, oh my gosh, the Spirit of God is here. I met people from Nigeria, two men from Nigeria, that said, oh my goodness, the Spirit of God is here. Do you not see he sees us right here in Roswell, America? It's not little old us. We're important and significant to God, just like they are in, you know, big city Dallas. They need to know he sees us right here. Sees my gente right here, here, in this house, in this place. He sees you. He loves you. You're important to him. What do you see? Do you see him? Do you love him? Is he important to you? Is he significant in your life? Oh, man. See him. See him. It's important that you see him. Last verse, and we're going to get out of here. Go celebrate Mother's Day. Psalms 32:8. We're going to end with that. Put that up there. I like this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Have I told you that? I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my, what? His eye. What does that mean? He'll guide you. Man, if you're looking at me and I'm looking at you and I go, you go. He'll guide you with his eye. But if you don't see him, how can he guide you with his eye? How can he guide you if you don't see him? I ask you to open up your heart, open up your mind, and see him for who he says he is, not who the world says he is, not what religion says he is, but what he says he is in his book. And when you do, he'll guide you with his eye, and you'll know that he sees you, that he loves you and cares about you. You'll realize how special you are, not to make you arrogant or proud, but in a way that humbles you. It says, God, you said that I need to see you as the most significant, important thing in my life, person in my life. And you also said I need to see people as you see me. So I need to see them as important and significant too. Amen. Listen, every eye closed. Man, I don't know why you came this morning. You might have come because your mama made you. Might have come because you just wanted to come and honor your mom. And I'm going to ask, unless you're working, please don't leave. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If you have to work and go to a door or do something, I understand. Go ahead and slip out. But the rest of you, don't try to beat the people out of the parking lot. It's not worth it to grieve the Holy Spirit in your life. And I don't like it when anybody grieves the Holy Spirit or tries to in this church. I'll stand up for the Holy Spirit because he's trying to save somebody's life right now. And so whether it's in here or online, if you're not right with God and you know it, you've never been right with him. You've never sincerely from your heart said, God, I surrender my life to you because I know you see me. I know you love me. I know you created me. My mom and dad, they were partnered with you to create me, but you are my real creator. You're the one who breathed life into me. I only live because of you. And so I surrender my life to my creator and the one who loves me enough to die for my sins in the form of his son, Jesus. So I surrender my life to your lordship. Teach me why I was created. Teach me what you wrote in your book about me. If you've never prayed that and you want to, let's do it right now. Or maybe you've prayed and you've run away from home. And you know you're away from home. And I said that thing that home is where your mom is, but I want to really tell you, home is where the will of God is for your life. Home is where God is and where he wants you to be. That's home. And so come home. If you've run away from home, come home. Just come home. So whether it's your first time or your next time, online or in this room, on the count of three online, I want you to send me a message. I'm praying for the first time. I'm praying for the next time. In this room, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand boldly and say, it's me. I need to get right with God. And then right after that, we're going to pray right where you're seated in this room, right where you're seated online, whether it's Sunday morning, or whether this is Thursday, you're watching this, or 2 months from now, God is still ministering to you. You pray right now. Pray right now if you want to pray. This is the moment. This is your time. God's calling because he sees you. He sees you. So if that's you, on the count of three, send the message online. Count of three, lift your hand in this room. One, two, three, lift your hand up and say, it's me. Come on, all over the room. Thank you, 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 thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see those hands in the back. Thank you. All over the room. Anybody else want to join them? Come on, jump in here. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? All right, let's pray, church. Let's pray with all these that raised their hand, all these online that are praying with us. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe. I know you see me. You see us. That's why you sent Jesus to die for our sins, because you care about us. You love us. That's why you raised Jesus from the dead, and he's alive, and he conquered sin and the penalty of sin, eternal death for me, for us. I believe it. And because I do, I ask you to forgive me of all the times I've sinned against you, hurt others, and hurt myself. And I receive your forgiveness. And I say to you, Jesus, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. I surrender my life to you. Teach me now how to serve you, how to live out the purpose and plan that you had for me before I even was formed in my mother's womb. And I thank you for your love, for your goodness, that you see me. And now, Lord, I see you. Until I see you face to face in heaven, thank you for saving my life, blessing me in this life, in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate the goodness of God. Happy Mother's Day, moms.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.